The energy in the arena tonight was unbelievable. It was crazy. And it feels good. You know, we're happy that we're able to do things here in Milwaukee. We're happy that we are going to the third round, and we're happy that, you know, the people are into it. I don't think I've ever seen people in Milwaukee be so excited about basketball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Bucks podcast. My name is KJ Eichstead. I'll be your host, and we have breaking news, emergency alert. The Milwaukee Bucks have just traded Drew Holiday in a package built around him for Dame Time Lillard. It is officially Dame Time in Milwaukee. An unbelievable deal. The news started stirring a couple days ago, and then today it came to a fruition. A deal was struck, and the Bucks added, and some may say upgraded, their big three. I'm joined today by my co-host, Alex. Alex, what is going on? What's your reaction, man? Damian Lillard to Milwaukee, Drew Holiday, championship-winning point guard, out the door. Everybody's got a take on this one. Let's hear yours.
I'm rejuvenated. I'm feeling ecstatic. I'm wondering what time it is. I'm wondering who's setting the deal, what the details are. I'm getting my phone hit up, Bucks fans, and probably you are too. Thank you for having me on the podcast. Pleasure to be back. This is huge for Milwaukee. I was just thinking about the 2-3 combination, right? You go from Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday as your 2-3 to all of a sudden Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton as your 2-3 behind Giannis. That is the best big three in basketball. I'm over the moon. I'm excited for Bucks basketball. Thanks for having me on the show. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, Bucks fans, the deal, pretty crazy. Portland gets Drew Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, Toumani Kamara, Milwaukee's 2029 unprotected first-round pick, and the rights to swap first-round picks with Milwaukee in 28 to 20 and also 2030. The Suns, they're the other team in the deal. They get Yusuf Nurkic, Grayson Allen, Nasir Little, and Keon Johnson. So they kind of offload DeAndre Ayton, bring back some role players. Because their roster, if you remember, is pretty bare as well. It's like the KD, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker show over there. And like scrap heap in the role players. So this is a big trade for them. The Bucks get Damian Lillard, and they're kind of putting together their supporting cast as well. If you look at their supporting cast, you got guys like Pat Connaughton. You got guys like Brooke Lopez. You got guys like Marjon Beauchamp. You picked up Malik Beasley. You got Bobby Portis. Like, it's not super deep, but if you can get a vet or two, maybe scour the buyout market, something like that, for defenders or something. The Milwaukee Bucks, I think, are the favorites to win the NBA championship, man. And it's crazy because they went crashing out in the first round this year, but that led to this trade. No one really wanted to get rid of Drew. Maybe some people did, but he certainly wasn't deserving of being like that guy to place blame on. He just happened to be the third best big three member, not the best shooter, in a time when the Bucks catastrophically underachieved in round one. That saw them be eliminated in Miami Heat. So, yeah, man, it is really seismic news. Do you want to just expand on, guess, like the explosion?
I'm thinking in my head, Bucks fans, new thoughts every second about what this means for the team. Is Brooke Lopez on his way out? Are other players on the move?
Well, he just signed a new deal.
But I was just thinking, Cage, the depth trade, right? The Bucks acquire their big three. Maybe they need some depth. Maybe there's not that many pieces out there. That's the best case, but maybe there's someone else on the move coming up shortly. That's just a thought that's coming in my head. Another thought is, imagine you're LeBron. Imagine you're a superstar in the NBA, and you're just chilling. It's a Wednesday night. There is no relative news in the NBA offseason. Football's dominating, and you get the alert that Giannis has finally teamed up with Damian Lillard. Kind of a lot of people who don't follow the Bucks that close will make the statement that the Bucks don't even have a real big number two, but now they do. Now, even in the eyes of the public, all the world, is Damian Lillard a formidable Robin or a formidable,
some might even say he's a number one. Some might even say he's number one. I don't know. That's a fascinating
question. Hey, who's got the ring, bro? Who's got the ring?
No, we all know Giannis is a definitive number one. But Bucks fans, let's analyze this for a sec. If you think about true number ones in the NBA, in my opinion, guys like a LeBron, like a Giannis, you know, probably like a Kevin Durant, a Stephen Curry, you know, like, and then there's like guys like Chris Middleton, Klay Thompson, you know, Devin Booker. Those guys are like Bradley Beal. Like, those guys are number twos in my opinion. I think Ja Morant can be a one. I'm trying to think if there's any other big ones that I'm missing. I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two. Like, I don't see Mitchell, Donovan Mitchell is a one. I see him as like a two or a three, most likely a three. But like Damian Lillard, I think when you consider the company, he's probably a one. What do you think, Al? Is he a one or is he like a – because like
this trade to me signals he's a top two. He's a top two.
Exactly.
Because if he was such a number one, Cage, he'd be sitting on the Portland Blazers still. The problem is he can't get you over the hump when it comes to facing a guy like
That's
Giannis.
A good point.
When
he's
it comes
a top
to
two.
Facing a guy like Curry. Curry is a number one as a PG. I'm still skeptical of a guy like Ja Morant. Is he going to win a championship when he's in the booty club every other night?
That's my call.
You know, like, I think that's totally fair. Gage, until proven otherwise, I see Curry as a number one guard.
Oh, totally.
Because he's got the ring. A number one has to be able to get a ring kind of on their own. You could Kawhi, he was a number one. LeBron, he was a number one. Giannis, a true number one.
See, I'm looking at Kawhi.
And you've
got to
ask yourself, is Joel Embiid even a true number one? Nikola Jokic is.
Okay, so I'm looking at a list right now, Bucks fans. Top 10, according to CBS, published within the last week. They rank Damian Lillard as the 10th best player in the NBA, and there are 9 players better than him, including Jimmy Butler and Devin Booker. Jimmy, you could say totally different types of players, right? Like all three of them. I think Dame is probably better than Jimmy and Booker, but Jimmy's got more dog in him. I think Dame's got more dog than Booker.
I think Jimmy
Bro, it's not one. I'm talking in the context of the league as it matters, right? Like one. That's the problem with NBA.
No, I'm just saying measuring up.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's all sorts of hypotheticals. Like, let's talk about on the court, like winning championships.
Two finals, man.
I think Jimmy Butler. No, exactly. I'm defending him, but you know, and then above them are Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic. So I think Tatum's probably better than Dame. You could argue flip-flopping those guys. I think Embiid certainly impacts the game more than Dame, as evidenced by all the wins and stuff. But honestly, man, Dame is like – he's a top-10 player. You look at the guy like behind him, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's certainly younger, but no one thinks of him like Dame. There's LeBron. There's AD. You know, I think maybe LeBron could pull off what Dame does because LeBron can turn it on and turn it off whenever he wants. I don't see AD as good as him. Then there's Ja Morant and Kawhi Leonard. Two guys with major question marks. But then you get in, like, the next tier, Donovan Mitchell, Paul George, Jamal Murray. Like Damian Lillard is for sure better than, you know, De'Aaron Fox, Jamal Murray, Paul George,
Donovan
Mitchell.
He's a top-tier player, but kind of what this signals is he couldn't win in Portland. And the Bucks. No. What I was reflecting on is they weren't going to be able to win this year. We actually had a Bucks friend, you know, recently say, hey, he was just looking forward to the playoffs, because I think Bucks fan were all like, okay, we're running it back. Let's see how it goes in the playoffs. But why would we expect a different result when you're running out there with the same guys? That's insanity, right?
Well, no, and I think it's the coach bud and the load management. I think a lot of people think that it was like an outlier, which it certainly was, but doesn't mean it didn't happen, you know?
Doesn't mean running it back guarantees championship.
It certainly doesn't, man.
This is a move that puts everybody on the Bucks. Like, look, this is back to the goal. We're going for a championship here. Saddle up. This is no more free lunch. You know.
So like, so top four teams in the NBA: Bucks, Celtics, Nuggets, and Suns. Would you replace any team in there? Would you maybe sneak a team like the Warriors?
I don't think
in there,
the Suns deserve that.
I don't think the Suns deserve that potentially. Yeah,
the Suns to me are the team that doesn't make sense there. I think you got to give it probably to the Warriors.
Memphis Grizzlies could sneak as well. They could sneak.
But they're not better than the Warriors.
It's interesting. The Bucks are definitively in the top four. You know, you could anoint them the best team, but they just got knocked out first round. It's really like it's not a talent thing. I don't think the rest of the league thinks it's a talent thing either. At this point, it's really just a mentality thing and a grit thing and a give the extra, you know.
Well, we're going to find out if Jokic is made of a two championship right away, because there's no guarantee he's just going to give it up, right? Like what I saw from this man, this playoff was dominance, right? And that was Giannis's thing, is like there was a window where the Bucks should have easily probably claimed two at the start.
Two at least.
Like the fact that the Chris, Drew, and Giannis resulted in one, that's amazing, of course. But like
we should have had one, man.
Maybe should have had two, Bucks fans. And I don't want to get too greedy, but I think this move signals Giannis is going for that. He's getting that second ring. Damian's got a lot of pressure, Cage. How do you feel about the pressure on Damian now to get to the finals and to win a ring?
I think he's built for it. You know, he did it his way, right? Like, he wasn't some player who soured relationships and everything. Like, he really tried to make it work in Portland. And frankly, he balled. Like, if you look at his numbers last year, I mean, the man averaged 32 points a game, you know, and he shot 37% from three. That's kind of what you'll get from him. Is
37% from like half court. I mean, the guy pulls up from half court. He's going to stretch it so well for Yanni.
I'm surprised his 3-point is actually 37%. I expect it to be higher. But the thing about Dame, like you said, Alec, he's got unbelievable range. He's got unlimited range, and he's got unlimited like confidence, which are two things you need in the playoffs. And man, we were talking about it earlier. Jrue Holiday, he was kind of a clunker. Like, I really, really loved him as a player. We saw him at the McDonald's All-American game. We go way back. But
just a solid player.
When Chris was out and it was Giannis and Drew, and Drew was like, the Bucks were forced to have someone else make offense besides Giannis, who was double and triple teamed, and the supporting cast went ghost, Drew would clunk a bunch of them. You know, and whenever he would put like 25 to 27 to 30 points up, the Bucks would win hands down. You know, it was just like so rare. I think, Dame, you're getting that. You're getting half the defense, double the offense.
What I don't want to see is I don't want to see Middleton playing lazy. I think this is like takes a little pressure off him, but I don't want to see Middleton just sitting out, you know, load managing himself. Like, look, this is a big three that needs the full three. Because frankly, I mean, otherwise, I think it says, Cage, like the Bucks, you know, they sold Drew at a high last year. He probably played better than Middleton, right? He was an all-star, I believe. And, you know, that's great work for the Bucks. I think it was a good relationship, Drew.
Drew is a great player. See, Portland is apparently going to spin him off for picks. I think that's insanity. I would build around Drew and the new guards. I would be like, yo, Shaedon Sharpe, Drew Holiday, and the new guy, Scoot Henderson. Like, let's roll this out. Drew's going to teach them the ropes. If they spin off Drew Holiday, I don't know what they're thinking. I would spin off Ayton if I could. You know, like, but no one really wants him.
They think they really wanted Wembanyama. No, like.
Yeah, I mean, I like that core, man. Like, Drew is a guy who he's not your number one, but he's like, you know, we're talking about Dame Lillard is like a top.
He's a good mentor.
Number two. He's like the top of the number two tier behind like the number one tier, which is like Giannis, Durant, Curry, probably LeBron, you know, stuff like that. There's the third tier. Like, I would argue Drew Holiday is like top third of the third tier. Like if you put Drew with the number twos, that's when you're kind of stretching it. You can do it, but he's like, I would say firmly in the middle of the twos or like at the top of the three tier. Chris Middleton is, you really don't know what you're going to get. He's got an unbelievable offensive game. He's a sharpshooter. The net oftentimes doesn't even move. He can create shots like Kobe, but the man just can't seem to stay healthy. It's got to change. And I will say, Alex, I'm very thankful the NBA is finally doing something about this load management, because it's gotten way out of hand. And it's not enough, but it's a start, right? Like, you have to play like 65 games if you want to be considered for awards, which is what a lot of bonuses are tied to, and yada, yada, yada. So I think a lot of the Bucks downfall, Bucks fans, I'm not even going to lie, it's just them messing around with their own mojo, you know, like taking too much time off. You know, it's like, for me, in the winter, I was in just absolute grind mode, whether it be like the business, whether it be my fitness, whether it be like, you know, networking, social, whatever it might have been. And then the summer, I was planning on enjoying myself a little more. But like, you know, it's just like if you kind of take yourself out of the habits and the grinds and the routines, like you really slip and something can happen. And that's exactly what happened on the Bucks last year. They messed around and found out what happens when you don't take it seriously, and they got knocked out first round. It's an atrocity. It's there's no excuses, but it led us to this point.
Here's what I want to see the Bucks do. I want to see them start strong. I think this is a team that Bucks fans, we're going to be watching. Everyone's going to be watching the Damian Lillard Giannis pairing. Like, these are going to be huge televised games. There's going to be eyes on this duo. Middleton's going to be there. How many points are they going to be putting up? How unstoppable are the Bucks? And what I want to see is a strong start, Cage, because you really perform in the playoffs how you perform all season. It's not like any other team can do what LeBron.
See, the NBA's got a problem on its hands.
Can really do, man. You know,
the playoffs are super different than the regular season. And Bucks fans, I actually got to see Pat Connaughton today. There was like a business roundtable, and he was talking about real estate, so we just got to chat for a sec. But he kept going back to how everybody was like motivated after last year's loss. Like, he mentioned it like three or four times between, like, you know, just like everything he said. And it was enough times that he mentioned it where you're like, it really seems like they're pissed off. And that's kind of what you'd want. You'd want the Bucks to be just as upset about their early exit as, like, you know, anyone else, the fans especially. And it's like, you know, Pat's a guy who he's going to work hard regardless. That's why it's great that I think he sticks around, a 3-and-D guy on a phenomenal contract, great guy in the locker room as well. But yeah, like, he also mentioned Coach Adrian Griffin getting into the swing of things really quickly. So to your point about starting strong, I think those two things kind of tie into that. I'm in the firm belief that, like, until something changes with the league, the NBA regular season is it just doesn't mean as much as it used to. And the Bucks are going to obliterate opponents in the regular season. You know, we're going to get blown out some games. We decide not to show up. And then we're going to hit the playoffs where everybody starts trying, right? That's kind of how the NBA is. And I feel like they need to do something to tweak that regular season to really make teams like try every game and also just be sharp, you know, because it's like how you practice is how you play. How you prepare is how you practice is how you play. And all those things are real. Like, the Bucks learned the hard way last year. Alex,
I think they're brainstorming like a Champions Cup type regular season tournament or something.
They are. If there is one potential fatal flaw in this Bucks team, and you know me, I was not a fan of Coach Bud, but it's the Bucks have a first-year head coach. Can they win a title in year one of the Adrian Griffin era? What do you think?
Oof. You put it like that, no. But when I think about Giannis, I think this is the man who's got the culture built at this point. Like, Coach Bud's out. It's Giannis's franchise, right? Like, let's just straight up admit it. It's his culture. He's adjusting to Giannis. He's coming in. He's gonna, you know, try and be a coach and be dominant. But truly, you got a superstar there, like a pure global leader, you know. And you got to start by getting him right, right? So he's probably gone to Giannis and just learned the culture that way. Giannis probably shared it with Pat, you know, and Pat is one of the guys Giannis really trusts. So I'm sure Pat got to, you know, influence the coach with the culture a bit and kind of set a good tone, right? Yeah, it's no longer just, honestly, it's addition by subtraction that Bucks Grayson fans. Allen's out the window.
Exactly.
It's like there's some times where you just don't want, like, Robin Lopez on the roster, right, for the culture mindset for a championship. The Bucks now have all the minds that seem pretty hungry. Like, Bobby, I know, wants one. You know, Dame Lillard, Bobby was balling.
See, Bobby's got his own stuff to work through, though, because he is way too, like, a disappearing act. It's like, one day you see him, the next day you don't. And he's way too good for that, man. You know, and, like, even if you or I were to do anything,
I'm just saying the attitude of Bobby is championship mode. Like,
yeah, I mean, but how can it really be championship mode if you become ghost so often like Bobby does? He's way too talented. Like, he's probably the most inconsistent player I've ever seen when the going gets tough. I don't care about any of the regular season at this point. And neither does Giannis, you know, frankly, neither do a lot of these guys. But, man, Bobby in the regular season's, like, got all-star campaigns going for him. And then the playoffs, he can't even get on the court. So it's like, he ain't no all-star. And maybe he'll listen to this and, like, use it as fuel, because I love Bobby. But, like, he is as inconsistent as any inconsistent player in the league.
What do you think about him, Cage? He's this fifth or sixth option on this team.
But what I was getting to is Damian Lillard, Portland Trail Blazers. There's another Milwaukee Buck who spent some time early in his career in Portland, developed some chemistry with Damian Lillard, developed some mutual respect. And that's Pat Connaughton. So Pat and Damian Lillard should have some hit the ground running type chemistry.
As well as some maybe off field work. But, you know, I think Damian is going to also cage. Kind of walk in and set an attitude that will shake a guy like Giannis, right? It'll get him.
Well, he needs it, right? Yeah, Giannis needs it, bro.
Very few things can motivate that man, right?
I'm so happy for him, but he did not give off the impression he's been motivated, like since his ring. You know, because before he got his ring, Bucks fans, if you remember, his father passed away, and like that is probably the toughest adversity anyone could go through. Like Kobe, you know, like crashing out the playoffs, like. Giannis was really dealing with adversity, and then he got his ring. He's making 50-some million a year. You know, he's got three kids now. He's just very happy, and, like, that's great for him, but he got punched in the mouth yet round one, and we got gentlemen swept.
So Jordan wasn't that happy.
Yeah, you
straight up.
Yeah, you're right, man. Jordan is never – when you see the guy, he will smile, he will laugh. But Jordan is all business all the time.
Exactly.
He is, bro. He is. And, like, even the difference between Jordan and LeBron, I think, because I'm a fan of both, on the court, obviously. I like what Jordan's doing off the court. LeBron's got some cool stuff going on. But it's like Jordan is even a higher level of business than LeBron, and LeBron still has, like, some nonsense about him. You know, whether it's, like, his self-produced shows and stuff like that, that kind of, I would just say, reach. Like LeBron can draw millions and millions of views, no doubt. He's like a hub of attention, no doubt. He's one of the best basketball players of all time, no doubt. But, like, Jordan didn't even do that stuff. Like, and I'm talking, like, the shop. It's like they both have their business ventures. They both have their philanthropy.
Well, you think about Bron went back to Cleveland, though. Bron was like, I have a mission. I'm going to win a ring in Cleveland again.
You got to respect it both, man. But Jordan literally retired and came back and then won, like,
that's what I'm saying. It's like a second era. And Giannis, what he needs to do is be like, look, I'm going to pass Kareem. I'm going to pass Kareem.
Giannis, like, has got to get in his second ring in his second era, Bucks fans. That is for sure. Alex, any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
I'm locked in. Bucks fans, this is going to be absolutely a show. I have a feeling that in the playoffs, there will be growing pains, of course, but truly, there'll just be some games where the Bucks are just unstoppable. Unstoppable. If you thought they were putting up points and, like, going crazy. Imagine the games where, like, Brooks going off, and you also have Damian and Giannis and Chris. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so, but when does Brooke go off in the playoffs? It's very rare. It's very rare. Like, we're not talking regular season. It doesn't matter.
Like, but my whole point here, Cage, is, like, those three are going to be good for a lot of points. A lot of points. And that does a lot of work for you. And then you just need one or two role players to, like, have a good game, and it's yours. In the playoffs, and
we can beat any team. Like, we can beat any team. We are the favorites, in my opinion. It's really going to be: can we play the defense? Can we have our people available?
Can this coach come in and
can the coach improve?
Right?
Yeah. Can he improve upon what Coach Bud started? And I'm optimistic they can. Bucks fans, keep your eyes out. We might have to do a Damian Lillard jersey giveaway. Just want to put that in the universe. We're doing a lot of really cool giveaways.
Final thought.
Yeah, go for it, Al.
Make sure you're following Ike Bucks on Twitter, because if you notice, Ike Bucks made a little post about the trade not so long ago. And then, you know, it caught some flack from people who didn't believe that Damian Lillard had some ties to Milwaukee, Cage.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reason to follow Ike Bucks as well as the other Ike accounts, like you were saying. Go ahead.
It was a dead zone. It was a complete dead zone in NBA world, like NBA media cycle, NBA Twitter. There's nothing going on. It was all football. And, like, even, you know, baseball. You could even argue soccer, Premier League, stuff like that, Champs League. And then all of a sudden, Milwaukee Bucks kicking the tires on Damian Lillard. Ike Bucks puts out the tweet. People are offended by it. Don't be putting that out there. And it's just like, hey, 5 days later, here we are. And not only almost that, like brother, not tweet. Only that, but we actually, if you remember, we were talking about Jrue Holiday before the Bucks traded for him too. And Bucks fans, just keep your eyes on Ike Bucks, like Alex was saying. You know, there might be some nuggets over here, some good valuable intel. But yeah, check out our other accounts too. Ike Packers on Twitter. We're giving away a Jordan Love jersey. Ike Badgers is great. We're in season, football season. That's definitely a lot of juicy topics to chew on. And Ike Brewers as well. The Brewers are headed towards the playoffs, so we'll have more coverage there coming up soon. Bucks fans, championship or bust, it's no excuses. Let's get another one this year. Thank you for being with us. Alex, thank you for joining us. Go Bucks forever.
Falling to my dreams, can't we? I'ma keep coming back. Oh yeah, oh yeah.